If you have your Bibles, would you take them to John chapter 9? John chapter 9. John chapter 9. All right. We're going to look at this morning a wonderful story in the Word of God. And those of you that know your Bibles know this story very, very well. John chapter 9. Verse number 1, notice with me if you will, it says, "And Jesus passed by. He saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. He said unto him, Go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way therefore and washed and came seeing. The neighbors therefore, and they which were before him, or had seen him, that he was blind, said, Is not this he that sat and begged? Some said, This is he. Others said, He is like him. He said, It's me. It's me. I am he. Therefore said they unto him, How are thine eyes opened? He answered and said, A man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed mine eyes and said unto me, Go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed and received sight. Then said they unto him, Where is he? He said, I know not. I know not. We'll stop there for a minute. The title of the message again is Jesus Passed By. Jesus Passed By. Sometimes if we don't look for it or are waiting, we'll miss Jesus passing by. I like the story of the man. He decided to get on a diet, and he said, I'm going to do it. I'm just going to get on a diet. The doctor said, I got to cut my sugar down. I've got to really get on with this thing before I get too sick. And so he went, and he started getting on his diet, and every morning as he went to work, he had to pass by his favorite donut shop. He said, oh, this is going to be a hard temptation. He said, but I'll do it. I can get past it. So Monday morning came, and he went down the road, and he looked over, and he saw that donut shop, and he said, oh, man. So he just pulled in the parking lot. He said, I'm just going to pull in. That's it. And he pulled in and he sat there and he said, Lord, give me the strength. Give me the strength. Please, God, help me. Give me the strength. And he said, Lord, here's the thing. If Lord, there's a parking spot right up front, I'll know that that's from you. I'll know that's your will, God. He said, you wouldn't believe it. The 10th time around the parking lot, one came open and it was God. So I went ahead and went in. That's like us sometimes, isn't it? I like this though. Jesus passed by. Jesus came by this man. Let me remind you this morning here very briefly, but that Jesus passes by our lives every day. He does it. He does it. He passes by. If we're listening and we're paying attention, Jesus passes by. Now notice this. A man which was born blind from his birth. Blind from his birth. And notice what the disciples say, Lord, who sinned? Isn't that like us to blame somebody? We've got to have blame. Somebody's got to pay for somebody's fault. We need to quit blaming our parents, quit blaming the world, quit blaming society. Yes, there's environments some people grow up in. Oh, bless their hearts. Horrible environments. Some of you grew up in a bad situation, a bad home. I understand that. I know what you're saying. I can trust. I know you've told me, okay? I understand some of your issues and situations and my issues and other things. We blame people, though, don't we? Blame. Who sinned, Lord? Jesus said, nobody. It's got to be somebody. It's got to be somebody. Notice this. We know throughout Scripture. This started all the way back in the garden. Do you remember that? When Eve, deceived by the serpent, she took a bite, went over to Adam while Adam was busy working and tapped on his shoulder and said, Adam, he said, no, not the fruit. She said, yeah. He took the fruit and ate of it out of his love for Eve. But what happened when God came? God came down and said, what happened? What did they? Well, Lord, the woman you gave me. It's the women's fault, ain't it? No. The woman you gave me? No. And then what did Eve say? Well, it was a serpent deceived me. Serpent. Blame, 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 isn't it? You remember growing up like that. You got home, parents got home. Who broke the lamp? The lamp's broken? I didn't. My sister, she did it. Brother did it. Who? Blame, blame. You think about it today. We're a blaming society. You blame people. Listen, we need to get past that. No excuses. The Bible's not written to a bunch of people corporately. It's written to the individual, isn't it? When you read it, you don't go, yeah, Brother Tim needed that. I'm going to share that verse with him when I see him tonight. No, what do you say? When you read the Bible, you go, ooh, ouch. That hit me right here. That hit me. And the Bible's written to us. We have no excuses. No excuses. Let me remind you of that. Who sinned, Lord? He said nobody. Why? Why? Notice verse 3. He did not sin, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be manifest in him. Oh, I love that. You realize today that the situation you're in, I don't know what you're going through, but it's for the glory of God. Now, none of us in here are blind. Maybe some of you maybe can't see very well. And my wife's always on me to get glasses or get my glasses out. I have glasses, but I don't like to wear them. And I'm always doing this, you know. But you think about it, none of us are blind in here. So he's in a real predicament. He's in a bad situation, but notice it's for the glory of God. I don't know what you're challenged with today. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know the financial problems, the personal problems, the heartache, the emotional, the work problems. But listen, if you'll trust God and look for his work in your life, you'll know this. Now listen to Ephesians 2. Verse number 9, it says, not of works, lest any man should boast, talking about our salvation. We didn't work for it. It's a gift of God, he says in verse 8. But verse 10, he says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Notice that. We're his workmanship. We're his craftsmanship. We're the result. You walk into some place and see a big ornate thing on a building or a wood piece made or furniture or something done. You go, man, somebody knew what they were doing. Somebody was a craftsman. Somebody understood. You ever seen somebody trying to build their own house or build their own piece of furniture or do something? You're scratching your head going, I think you missed a few screws over there. I think you missed a few things. That's me, by the way. I think you missed a few things. He says, we're his workmanship. We are to be a workman for God, yes, but we are his workmanship. We are the result of God's work, of Christ's work. Isn't that wonderful to know? It takes the responsibility off of us. And God, you do your work in me. Do your work in me. It is him, Paul says in Philippians, it is his will that he works in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. God is working in your life right now. For what reason? To help us be in his will, number one. But for God's pleasure, for God's glory. The reason God's working, the reason God is directing you and helping you, even allowing you to go through some difficulty. Why? It's for our benefit and his glory. A wonderful saying that we often say around here, but it's for my good and God's glory. What goes on? It's for my good and God's glory. You must remember that. You must nail that down in your mind, in your heart, for when those times do come, you think of that. Oh, Lord, I know that. He says, who sinned? They said, who sinned? He said, nobody. But that the works of God should be manifest in him, desirous to show forth the glory of God. I pray that that's your prayer in your life. I want to show forth your glory, Lord. Why did you allow this to happen? Why would you allow that to go on in my family? Why would you allow us to come home to that mess? Why would you allow the coffee maker not to work this morning? Why? I'm being very funny, but there's very serious things, you know, I'm speaking of. Why? Well, number one, you must understand scripturally, it's for God's glory. And if we can come to the maturity in our lives, our spiritual life, and say, God, I'm not going to shake my fist at you and ask why and say, God, I've tried to work for you and be faithful and love you and all these bad things are happening. No, I come to the maturity and say, God, I don't understand it, but I know this. I want you to be glorified through it. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. But Lord, don't allow any bad things to happen. When we say that, I surrender all, we sang this morning. I surrender all. What are we saying? I'm giving you my life. You're going to do with it. By the way, when you serve Christ and turn your life over to him and start becoming faithful to church and keep reading your Bible and praying and working on your marriage and working on other relationships, your life doesn't come up as blooming flower and everything works great. All my problems went away. No, what happens? In fact, you get more problems. Why? Because we live in the fallen state. Because we live in a sinful world and the adversary hates that you're in church this morning. He hates that you have been reading your Bible. He hates that you've been working on your marriage. He hates that you've been not opening your mouth when you think you should say something. He hates it that you're trying to live for him. Notice verse 5, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. I'm the light of the world. Jesus Christ was on this earth for about 33 years. years. Some people say 33 and a half years. That's a short time. That's very short. Now that I'm past that, that's very short. You go. But while he was in the world, he was the light of the world. As I was reading that, studying, I wondered, what was the world like while Jesus was on the earth? You ever thought about that? What was it like? I mean, what was it like? There was something different going on, and the world was different. He was the light of the world. I don't know. You do some history and such. There were wars, and there were things that went on, but I truly believe there was something of a peace. There was something of this. There was something different about it. The world, I'm saying. And he says, as long as I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world. So you better take advantage of that, he's basically saying now. Verse 6, when he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground, made clay of the spittle, and anointed the eyes of the blind man with clay. Now, why did he do that? Good question. I don't know. No. Other times he just spoke the word, didn't he? Be healed. Go in peace. Thy faith has saved thee. You remember the lady came in the press behind all the people, and she said, but if I but touch the hem of his garment, she reached down and just touched his garment and then backed away. Immediately she felt in her body she was healed. So why would he do this? Number one, I believe personally that he went, spat on the ground, made some mud, if you will, and put it on his eyelids to remind him of where, number one, he came from. You know this. Adam was what? He was formed out of the dirt of the ground, wasn't he? The dust, the clay. He was made that way. You know that. There's elements in the soil right now that are in our bodies, isn't there? Same elements. Very interesting. So you think about it. He was reminding this man and the people that were watching, especially, of where he came from. Where he came from. He wanted to demonstrate something to them, and Jesus did this often. He wanted to show them something. He wanted to make a little illustration, and I try and tell my kids or read to my kids stories. We have storybooks and stuff, but I don't read to it like, and then he went and sat on the wall. Humpty Dumpty fell off. No, you got to get animated, don't you? And then he fell off the wall and he broke his head wide open. And they're going, no. I said, yeah, I broke it wide open. Did any blood come out? I said, no, it was an egg, so some yolk came out. They said, what? You got to get real animated. I think about Jesus. And can you imagine the Lord? He didn't have to do this. But I think he played with people sometimes just to do it. You know, spat on the ground. I shouldn't spit in church. He spat on the ground. Made a little mud, and he's looking at watching. Everyone's going, what is he doing? What in the world? And put it on his eyelids. What in the world are you doing? I think he was doing a little bit of that to get their attention. He reminded them, you came from this mud. You came from this dirt. You can do nothing without me. If you'll realize this, then I want to heal you. I want to make you new. If any man be in Christ, he's a what? New creature. Meaning what? He's a new creation. The word regenerated means regened. You're born again. You have new genes within you. And that's what he's saying. I am making something new. I'm making it new. Adam sinned in the garden. He messed up. As we've gone throughout history, we know we've degraded in society. Our world today believes that we started out very stupid. A caveman beating his girlfriend over the head with a club. We, in fact, started the opposite. We started out, can you imagine how smart Adam was? In the Gospel of Luke, it says Adam was the son of God. Genius. I mean, genius doesn't even touch the surface of what Adam was. We started out up here, we're down here now. See what's happening? And you think about this. But Jesus Christ was reminding this man and the ones around watching of where he came from. Notice verse 7, and said unto him, go wash in the pool of Siloam. Go. There's a principle in the New Testament. And it goes like this. There is an effort demanded before a blessing can be given. Let me say that again. There's an effort demanded on your part before a blessing can be given. You know, a lot of people just stand back, Lord, bless my life. What have you done for me? Well, nothing, Lord, I'm too busy, but bless my life. Well, I wish I had a good church family to go to. Never shows up to church. Boy, Lord, I wish you'd speak to me and show me what to do in this situation. Read your Bible. You understand this. Now, Jesus could have done this. He could have just healed him and let him go. But he says, go wash. Go forth. Put forth an effort. Put forth an effort to do something that God can then bless and bring glory to Him and good to you. You and I understand that. Are you putting forth an effort today to serve Christ? It's just not by osmosis at night. You wake up and go, boy, I love the Lord. No, it's a challenge, isn't it? Because you go to bed and you're hurting physically. You may be hurting emotionally. You're dealing with challenges and ups and downs and marriages and easy. You have to wake up and say, Lord, I make an effort to serve you. I'm going to make an effort this morning to be in my Bible. I'm going to make an effort to get in prayer. And oh, the adversary hates that, doesn't he? He doesn't want you to be in prayer. You ever try and pray more than 5 minutes? Everything that pops in your head? Oh, man. If I forget stuff, I go right to prayer because the devil will bring it right up to me. You forgot to do this, 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 and that. Just keep with you a little 3x5 card and a pen as you're praying. When you're done praying, you have a whole list of things to do. And you end up. But really, you think about it. Have you ever tried to pray serious prayer? It's hard to do. You ever tried to sit down with your Bible? If you have little kids in the home, you know this to be true. I sat down last night with my Bible, sitting there on the couch reading, and sure enough, the kids don't care anything about me if the Bible's shut. They're out playing. I open this up. Here they all come. Daddy, can we? One's crying. One's on the floor. One's throwing a fit. One's messing with the Christmas tree, pulling all the ornaments off of it. It's half fallen over. Mommy's getting mad. You know? That's what I'm saying. There's an adversary. But notice, put forth an effort. An effort will be there. When you do, listen, there's a blessing that'll be given. Do you understand today God's not called us to just sit back and have a good time and sit back and do nothing and sulk and sour and become stagnant in a pool of nothing? He's asked us to what? Become a soldier for Him. And a soldier does what he's supposed to do. A soldier doesn't ask questions. Well, why? Get over here at whatever time. Well, why? Give me a reason. No, they're going to let you know. You're going to be doing push-ups and running laps. You do what you're told to do. And you understand, God is not that way. He's a gracious, loving, kind God, and He's saying, I'm doing this for your good. Let's hasten here. Verse number 8, He says, the neighbors, therefore. Here comes the nosy neighbor. How many of you have a nosy neighbor? Okay, some of you do. Ethel and whoever else. And they which before had seen him that he was blind. They knew this guy. He sat on the corner begging with whatever, cardboard sign or something. Is not this he that sat and begged? Now notice the opposite. He's up now walking and praising the Lord before he was sitting and begging. But Jesus passed by. Jesus passed by. Some said, verse 9, this is he. Others said he is like him. But he said, hey, it's me. You ever be talking to someone and they don't listen? Or talking to somebody and you give your advice, hey, we should do this. They ignore you. And then 5 minutes later, they go, hey, we should do this. And they say what you said. You're going, I just said that. Nobody cares. I'm chopped liver here, you know. Nobody cares. He says, I'm he. Well, he looks like him, but the guy's born blind. You know old Joe Blow. He's blind. That's not him. He says, it's me. You think about this. Naysayers, they come. Naysayers come. Critics come. I've said this before. If you don't have critics and you're looking for a couple critics to get in your life, just serve the Lord. Step out by faith. Honey, I think we should go to church. She's going to go, what? Honey, let's start reading the Bible together at night and praying together for our family. She's going to, after she passes out, you can help her up. You know, let's start doing something for the Lord. Let's serve God and live for Him. And when you do, you're going to get critics that will not even believe your own words. He said, verse 11, a man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed my... Now remember this, he has no idea what Jesus looks like, does he? No, he anointed his eyes with clay, but he was still blind. He said, go and wash. So he went and washed. He has no idea what Jesus looks like. Remember that. He said, this guy named Jesus. Well, who is he? What's he look like? I have no clue. He anointed my eyes, said unto me, go wash in the pool of Siloam. I went and washed and received sight. Then said they unto him, where is he? I don't know. Well, where is he? Show us who he is. Point him out. I have no clue. I don't know. You know, people want to question that in your life. Do they want to do that? I know they do to me. Well, why do you believe that stuff? Well, let me tell you from the Bible. Share with the Bible. They still don't believe. Wow. The Bible's not true. The Bible's not accurate. The Bible's just an archaic book. The Bible's written by men, and men are sinful, and men put their own twist on the Bible. No, they didn't. If you know your Bibles, you know that's not true. You study history. You study church history. You understand all of these things. I'm thinking about, though, As Jesus passed by this man and changed his life forever, and those of you that are saved in here, I believe everyone is saved. I think everyone's saved in here. I look around. You know the Lord. You know the Lord. You're saved. People will come. And Jesus passed by your life at some point, and He saved you. He worked in your life. He brought you to a saving knowledge of Christ. If you're not saved, let me take the Bible this morning and share with you the wonderful news of salvation. Literally will take less than 10 minutes. And I want to share with you, it'll be the greatest day of your life. It'll be the greatest day. Notice this. Where is he? I don't know. They brought him before the Pharisees. I won't read the entire chapter, but just kind of condense it here. And they say, well, what happened? He said, well, same thing. He washed. He put clay upon me and washed. Just a little side note here. Some people, the biggest area they struggle with in their Christianity is sharing their faith with other people. Well, I don't know how to share my faith. I don't know how to share the gospel. You know what this guy did? He just rehearsed what Jesus did to him. Well, I was not feeling well. I was depressed. I was lonely. I was looking for truth. And I came and somebody shared the Bible. I came to this church. Somebody invited me to church and I heard the gospel. I heard the Bible open. Just share with them what God did with you. That's what Paul did. Paul, on at least four different occasions in the book of Acts, rehearsed exactly what happened to him. He says, what happened to you, Paul? He said, well, one day I was traveling down the road to Damascus. They said, oh, I know that road. Yeah, I was heading up north. All of a sudden, a bright light shone down. And a voice came out from the clouds and it said, Saul, Saul. They said, well, who's Saul? He said, that used to be my name. Oh, okay. It said, why are you persecuting me? He thought for a minute. He said, I don't know. He said, Lord? He said, yeah, it's me, Jesus. He said, it's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And then he said, I asked this question next and I was real scared. And I said, what would you have me to do? He said, well, get up and go into the city. I'll tell you what to do later. And he said, I got up to walk and I was blind. I couldn't see. I was scared to death. I didn't know what to do. That's all he did. He told his story. He told his testimony. They brought him before the Pharisees, all these things. Who opened your eyes? Again, it's kind of redundant. He goes through it. Now notice verse number 19. And they asked them, the parents, is this your son whom you say was born blind? How then now he see? His parents answered them and said, we know that this is our son and that he was born blind, but by what means he now seeth, we know not. Or who hath opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age, ask him, he'll speak for himself. These words spake the parents, they feared the Jews. For the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. Now this is again, fear of man. The parents said, listen, we know it's our son, but how he was healed, we don't know. It's truth, it's legitimate. But they feared the Jews. There's a man by the name of Nicodemus that came to Jesus by night, in John chapter number 3, and it says what? He came to Jesus by night for fear of the Jews because he was on the council. He didn't want to lose his position. And if you play the card of fearing man instead of God, you're going to fail. I've failed so many times. I didn't tell someone the gospel, share with them the gospel. I didn't preach like I should have or done something. Why? Because I feared man. If you fear man, you're going to fail in your walk with God. Because God does something very unique and He demands complete obedience from His disciples. Complete obedience, not half-hearted. You've ever lived your life half-hearted as a Christian? You realize how hard it is. Jesus said you can't serve God and mammon. That's materialism. That's money. That's the world. Complete obedience to Him. You and I know that. We're crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not my life, right? But His. Through Him. For His glory. So again, let me close out here. The fear of the Jews. Go ask him. He's of age. They called the man, verse 24. Give God praise. He says, no problem. We know that this man is a sinner. He answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I don't know. One thing I know, I was blind, now I see. We sing the song Amazing Grace. I love that song, do you? I once was blind, but now I see. It's as simple as that. I don't know all about Jesus Christ, and you're not a great theologian. You don't know everything in the Bible, but you do know this one thing. You were once blind, now you see. It's clear as that. I don't know. I know that before Christ, my life was miserable. Now, not everything's peachy keen. I got a lot of problems. A lot of problems come our way. A lot of issues happen. But I do know this, that, oh, He's a precious Savior. Oh, He helps me. He guides me. He blesses me. They again call the man, or who healed you, blah, blah, blah. All these things, just redundant. We're Moses' disciples, verse 28. Verse 30, though, notice the man answered and said, "Why herein is a marvelous thing that ye know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened mine eyes? Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. Since the world began, is it not heard that any man opened the eyes of the blind, or one that was born blind?" Now again, that's a prophecy of the Old Testament. He's going to open the eyes of the blind. Very clear. Confirmation of his messiahship. If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. They answered and said, verse 34, "Thou wast altogether born in sins." Uh-oh, hang on a second. Just as the disciples assumed. Remember that? You were born in sin. See, people believe that, especially in third world countries. They believe if a baby is born with a deformity or born blind or born mentally retarded, that they're cursed. They're cursed. A demon or devil is within that child. That's what they believe, which is not true. But notice this. You were born in sins. Why would you say that? Because you were born blind. You were born cursed. And you teach us, they say. And they took this guy and threw him out. Verse 35, this is my favorite. Jesus heard that they had cast him out. When he had found him, he said it. Now remember, he doesn't know what Jesus looks like. But what does he know about Jesus? He knows his voice, doesn't he? He knows his voice. This part about makes me cry. "Dost thou believe the Son of God?" Who said that? I know that voice. "Dost thou believe the Son of God?" He turns around. There's Jesus, and Jesus always had an entourage with him, a bunch of guys with him, some disciples, a bunch of people. He said, "Who said that? Who said that? Who said that's you? Who said that? I know your voice." And Jesus said, "It's me. It's me." Standing there right in the front. "It's me. Dost thou believe the Son of God?" He answered and said, "Who is he, Lord, that I might believe him?" And Jesus said unto him, "Thou hast both seen him, notice, and it is he that talketh with thee." Your sight now confirms what you heard. Your sight confirms what you heard. I know your voice, but I don't know who you are. I know your voice, but I don't. Listen, my friends, you have not seen Jesus Christ, but one day very soon you're going to see him. You only know his voice. You only know the word. We don't hear an audible voice. I believe the Pentecostals, Charismatics, I think they're wrong on that. We don't hear an audible voice. We hear the word of God. And when you read the word of God, you know the voice of God. And John chapter number 10, the next chapter, he talks specifically about the sheep hearing the voice. And he says, "My sheep hear my voice, and they know me," and they what? They follow me. You ever been around a shepherd or or some of you have a real good dog? You just give a whistle as soon as you get home, they know your voice. "Come here, boy." Whatever it is. I've seen it before. There's probably 350 sheep out on a grassy knoll, and the shepherd comes out and he gives a whistle. Whatever it is. Here they all come. They know the shepherd's voice. You don't know what Jesus looks like. You haven't seen him face to face, but you know his voice. Let me tell you something real quick, my friends. Do not forget this world is coming to an end. Your life will soon be over. Only what's done for Christ will last. But you will one day, what you heard will confirm with what you see. And the Bible says, "When we see him, we will be like him, for we will see him as he is, and we will not have any problem recognizing Jesus Christ." We're not going to go, "Who is that?" We're going to know who he is. And you and I know that. Therefore, as Jesus passes by your life daily, and he's working in your heart daily to try and get you to follow him, to try and get you to get closer to him, are you listening? Are you waiting? Are you hearing? Are you following? Are you following? Let's close it out. Verse 39, "Therefore they sought again to take him." Oh no, excuse me, I'm in chapter 10. Verse 36, "He answered and said, Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, Thou hast both seen him, and is he that talketh with thee? He said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. Jesus said, For judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see, and they which might see might be made blind. And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words, said unto him, Are we blind also? Very mockingly, they're being caustic. Jesus said unto them, If ye were blind, ye should have no sin. But now ye say, We see, therefore your sin remaineth. Do you understand that? you assume that you know the truth. They were Moses' disciples, meaning they were followers of the Old Testament. We don't need you, Jesus. You're not the true Messiah. We reject you. What is he saying? You think you see, but you're truly blind. You're really blind. He says those that, what? Don't. Those that believe, they're the ones that see. Those ones that are blind, if you will, they're the ones that truly see. They're the ones that are following. You, my friends, must understand, as I've tried to live, we must understand and believe the person of Jesus Christ. Put aside everything that maybe you were taught. Put aside things that the public school tried to push on you. Put aside other issues and other belief systems that you've grown up with, and come back to the Word of God and realize who Jesus is. There's so many people today that are blind. You know this, and I said this last week, but there's going to be, the Bible says many, Jesus says many, I don't know how many that is. Relatively speaking, probably millions. They're going to come to Jesus in the last day. What are they going to say? Lord, Lord, it's me. It's me, Billy, Bobby, Ethel, Myrtle, it's me. He's going to say, depart, I never knew you. I think one of the most horrific statements to ever be said to a human being from God Almighty, depart from me, I never knew you. I never knew you. But they call him Lord. What is that? It's a fake, it's a fallacy, it's a false conception. They don't know what they believe. They're truly blind and yet they think they see. Jesus says, don't let a blind man lead the blind. They're both going to fall into the pit. But you follow the truth. Now, let me just say here by conclusion. As Jesus passed by, there's an individual who did nothing wrong. He was born this way. Assumption was somebody sinned. Somebody messed up. Assumption is, some people, you go through a difficult season, some people, critics are going to come and go, boy, they must have sin in their life. God is judging them. That's not true. The most spiritual people go through some of the most difficult seasons. And some of you can attest to that. Spiritual, godly people love the Lord. But you go through difficult seasons and people are going to say, who sinned? Jesus said, neither, 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 but that the works should be made manifest. Are you striving today to let God be God and work through you so that He can receive glory? Are you striving to, Lord, whatever may come, I desire that You'd be glorified and lifted up in my life, that the works of God should be manifest in Him. If you're saved today, God has already begun what's called a good work in you. He that hath begun a good work in you, Paul says what? Will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. That means God's not going to drop the ball. Well, I started to work in Tim's life, but I kind of forgot about him. No, He's actively every day working in your life. Do you realize that? He knows where you are. He knows your name. He knows what you're doing. He knows the sin. He knows the righteousness. He knows all of it. And He's working. And it says He deliberately passed by. Preceding this, let me close with this. In John 8:58, it says, Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Now, that's a statement of deity. Then they took up stones to cast at Him, but Jesus hid Himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them and passed by. He had a bounty on His head. They were trying to kill Him. And Jesus didn't go and cower and hide somewhere. Jesus was not intimidated by anybody, proving that. They were trying to kill Him. And He goes, you know what? I'm going to pass through this way because there's a blind beggar over there. I'm going to go ahead and do something for him. Wow. If you're like me, when I go through difficult seasons, I don't want to bless people. I don't want to help other people. Just leave me alone. But Jesus sets a wonderful example. During your most difficult seasons in life is the most, I don't know how to put it, it's the best time for you to be a blessing to other people. Boy, Tim's going through a difficult season, but he wanted to be a blessing to us. Man, he serves a good God. He's got a great faith in God. Jesus passed by. Listen, let me say today, God's going to pass by you today. He's working. Look for things. Look for areas in your life where God is working. If you're looking, you'll see it. If you're looking, you'll find it. That's what Jesus said. Ask, seek, knock. If you're actively looking for Christ's work in your life, you're going to see it. And as He passes by, look for the opportunity to glorify Him. Stop the excuses. Well, I would, but this, this, and that. I would, but my parents. I would. No. It's me. When I stand before Christ very soon, I believe, He will not ask me, well, let's get your parents in here. Let's get your grandparents. Let's get your brother and sisters in here and let's find out what they... No, he's going to say, what did you do? What did you do? It's all on me, isn't it? As Jesus passed by. Oh, I hope that's a blessing to you. Look for an opportunity to bring glory to our Lord and Savior. Amen.